Welcome back to the Lenses Podcast. It's show 131 and we have Joe Ditchett as our guest. Joe hails from Maine but lives in Washington, D.C. And, well, it was a lovely conversation. I hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome back to the Lensless Podcast. It's show 131. And just like to thank our last two proper guests, which was show 129. That's Heather and Chris. We came up with the most exciting title for that show, so you can go back and look at that and see if that puts you off or draws you in. But thanks, Heather and Chris. And then just a week or so ago, depending on when we air this show, show 130, which was Andrea from Mia Pinhole. So that's the first of a short series of what I've called spotlight interviews. Shorter, more structured chats than our normal ramble, such as what we're going to do today. And talking of rambling, we have a guest, or I have a guest, Joe Ditchett. How are you doing, Joe?
Good. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show today.
And you're very excited, which is always nice to nice to hear. It's always nice to have an excited guest.
I know.
You're over on the East Coast.
East Coast U.S., yeah, in the greater Washington, D.C. area.
So it says here, it's Maine, is it? You're in Maine.
I am from Maine originally.
You're from Maine.
Yeah, and my mom still lives up there and family up there. So we do spend a decent amount of time up there at the family home. But like many things in life, work has me here in Washington, D.C. in the Mid-Coast.
Okay, that's good. So I was getting excited to talk about Maine.
No, Maine's great. We can spend as much time as you want talking about that. Less divisive opinions about Maine than there are about Washington, D.C.
I can imagine. Yes. Yeah. Which has the most pinhole opportunities, do you think?
Oh, Maine. Yeah. Here in D.C., I'll be honest, I should spend more time downtown in the district doing pinhole, but it's kind of stressful getting down there. Parking is limited, traffic is always tight, and there's a ton of visitors and tourists, so.
But that opens up just a different possibility, doesn't it, for different types of pinhole work.
Oh, yeah. There's no shortage of opportunity down there. It's just how much stress do you want to take on, or where how do you want to walk about? And Maine being a little bit more of a natural state in terms of environment, there's a lot more outdoor opportunity there.
So I just lost you there, Joe, because we started this recording just at the wrong time, because it turned 3 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon in the UK. And the UK government chose that moment to do an emergency broadcast test on every citizen's phone, provided they've got a fairly up-to-date iPhone or Android. If you haven't got an up-to-date iPhone or Android, then and there's a nuclear bomb coming your way, then clearly you're not going to survive. And as it blasted over the phone, I lost you completely. So that was most bizarre. And I don't know if it'll appear on the recording or not, although it's just in my ears because it made an awful screeching noise. So I don't really know what the purpose of this government. It says something about letting citizens know about specific emergencies that are happening.
Here in the pinhole world, we certainly like surprises and welcome them, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so sorry about that. We were just talking about different opportunities of DC or Maine, I think.
DC being the seat of the American government, but really one of the tourist capitals here in the country. There's a lot of activity down there, a lot of great things to go see and do. Maine is much more of an outdoor state, so you got a lot of your natural environment there, whether you're in the mountains or in the coast.
Yeah, so you're quite close to the Canadian border there, and the Gulf of Maine, where else? New Hampshire?
Yes, yep.
Quebec? Do you find yourself isolated in the pinhole world, or have you got other buddies, pinhole buddies that live nearby in that sort of area?
Yeah. When I started down this venture a couple of years ago, it felt very lonely in the pinhole world here in DC.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then you see names pop up, and people kind of out and about, but it's there's not a lot of pinholers here. I don't think, at least they're not vocal about it, and they're maybe hiding a bit.
I don't recall having anyone on the show from DC. We might have done, and if you're listening to this and you're from DC, well, reach out to Joe and say, I'll be your pinhole buddy.
I spend a lot of time trying to recruit people into the wild world of lensless photography.
Do you? How'd you do that then?
I mean, with Pinhole Day coming up, I have this open invitation for anyone that wants to come. Obviously, all cameras and all people are welcome, but I go out regardless, and if they're not actively doing pinhole, then maybe it's an introduction for them and they can see what's possible.
Do you somehow put that message out in your community?
Yeah. It's really more within my network, to be honest. I don't have a really big public presence, so it's not something I have across the greater DC area where,
So you're just talking about friends and work colleagues, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I suppose when we get into my background in photography a bit, I have this, like many of us, we have kind of this core group of photo friends, each with their own interests. So I usually send out a signal to them if they want to join the group.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Well, we mentioned World Pinhole Day. We'll come on to that in a second. But we would often start these interviews with the guests talking about themselves and what their background is, how they got into pinhole. So should we launch down that particular strata of discussion?
Yeah, buckle up. here we go. So I am living here in the greater DC area, technically Northern Virginia. Like I said earlier, work usually brings people here. So I came here for work. When I was younger, I grew up kind of all over the country. I moved around a lot as part of my dad's job. So I got to see the country from a lot of different perspectives, West Coast to East Coast, North to South, desert to rainy climates. I got to see a lot of that growing up. And as I got older and I left to go to college, I went to the Naval Academy here in the U.S. I think the equivalent in Britain is Dartmouth. So I went down the military and Navy route, did 4 years of the school. And before I went, I went active duty to my two ships. And in the Navy, we have these things called seashore rotations. So you spend a little bit of time at sea and then you go to shore. And then the shore tour brought me here to DC, and I've been here ever since for work. This is where most of my 9-to-5 work is. So
that's not military related now, or
no? I made the decision to get out. In this area, much of the work is still government or military related. So my day job is very much still in tune with that community.
Right.
But in terms of my photographic life, I'm not a working professional photographer. This is something I enjoyed it doing. I'm kind of in this, I would describe it as this, I'll say an age bracket. I'm approaching 40 this year, later this summer. I'm in this sweet spot where I grew up in an analog way. But as I came of age, that started going away and people started using, digital Sony Cybershots and Olympus point and shoots. And when I got to my ships and when I was on active duty, the cameras that people would use that were not working professionals would either be like the disposables or those easy to use point and shoot digital cameras. But at the time, not a lot of people were, or there wasn't really an easy way to save a lot of your digital files. Hard drive upon hard drive upon hard drive.
Yeah. What year are we talking about now then? So
mid-2000s, like early to mid-2000s, right? And then I started deploying with the Navy after 2006, and I would have my camera with me. not doing anything fancy, just something to remember those years.
Digital still, or are we talking?
Oh, film? Digital. Yeah, digital. Because it was easier, right? I didn't grow up in a professional photographic way. So like many people in that range, I did what most normal people would do, what a lot of people would do is, if you had 35 millimeter film, you would take it to your local pharmacy and get it developed. You get your two prints back, and then you would throw away the negatives, right? and then fast forward to hard drives and digital shots. You know, if you didn't touch your hard drive for 6 months, you'd be lucky if it powered back up. So I fast forward a few years. You know, that kind of brought me to the analog world again, where I realized the power of negatives and being able to explore some of that stuff. But I'll put a little bow on that by saying that life on active duty was very busy for me. But when I came here to DC, and my wife makes fun of me for this a lot, when I got here to my short tour, I had a lot more free time on my hands. And I was in a place where I was like, hey, I need a hobby. I need something to do.
Were you married with kids at this point?
No. I was single. Yeah, she just enjoys the story, because by the time she got introduced to my life, she saw all these failed hobbies sitting around the house.
Yeah. What you need is a wife, young man.
Yeah, I know. Well, if you need a harmonica, I got a couple of those laying around.
Is that so? Go on, then. List your. I think this is a real male thing. You know, I mean, I might get blown out of the water for saying it, but it seems to me, women are far more sensible to leave a trail of obsessive hobbies behind. I mean, men get into cycling, right? And they'll drag their wives with them quite often. Sometimes it's the other way around. And they'll go the whole hog. They'll have all the gear and the fancy Lycra stuff and the cute little clicky shoes. And the wife has probably got her shorts on and a pair of trainers, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah. Well, you know,
all or nothing, right? All in. And then before you know it, you're on to the next thing.
So harmonica, did you get proficient in?
Oh God, no. Yeah, music is not my space. The creation of music is not my space. I learned that pretty quickly, but through a series of events and friends, you know, I kind of landed in the photography space. And I was supported by a community here of classes and art communities that enabled people to learn some of that stuff. And yeah, for me, I found it was a really good sweet spot to have a foot in a sort of technical world and a foot in a sort of creative world. And you can lean one way or the other based on your personal preferences. And then I just went all in on it.
Did you go to some classes or night schools or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, local community classes. There's a couple of co-ops around here that offer classes. And that's how I kind of met the group that I was referring to earlier, that you know, my local photo group that I like to...
Is that all analog or a mixture of analog digital? Or?
No, so we were all shooting digital. And as I said before, like I started getting frustrated with the digital dust of trying to manage files and stay current on software and hard drives failing and all that stuff. And I don't remember the specific moment, but eventually, you know, medium format came into my life. I was like, it just piqued my curiosity. So I gave that a shot and never looked back.
Yeah. What did you get when it came into your life?
You know, like everyone from the last 50 or 60 years, a little Browning Hawkeye, right?
Okay. Yeah. Is that the Hawkeye flash?
Yeah.
The little Art Deco one where you can flip the lens around.
Yeah. And like all, newbies in that world, I didn't really understand the difference between a 620 roll or spool and a 120 spool.
Well, you need a 620 spool in that camera for the take up.
Yep.
But you can shove a 120 in on the feeding spool, can't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. I know that now. but I fell hook, line, and sinker for that into the film world, and then you know, I was able to explore, you know, different types of cameras. Most of them being medium format, and I progressed into other.
Did you start off developing your own film, or were you finding there still labs and things that you could send things to?
There are labs, and I was using labs initially. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of working backwards in time here, right?
That's okay. Whatever and, works.
Yeah. You know, digital to film, and then to your own developing, and then the next step for me will be into my own printing, and that's an area for me to explore later this year. I kind of made the rounds through some of the, and I still very much do love lens based photography, but the pinhole thing then became a pandemic passion of mine. Pandemic passion, pinhole, however you want to phrase it.
Was it a pandemic purchase? Because you're using some reality. Well, you're using a 6x17 reality. You're using a square reality as well.
Yeah, the 6F. And now that's my go kit. Like I leave the house, and I think somewhere I've heard a reference in one of your previous shows here too, and maybe even from you personally. But whenever I leave the house with my bag, the two cameras that are always in my bag are the Reality 6-6 and the Holga.
Yeah,
it's just so easy and so rewarding once you kind of get into it.
Are you still using the Hawkeye?
No, not so much. Not so much.
Have you flipped the lens around and seen what weird effects you get with that?
No, I really haven't. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I just last week I was in a different town that had a little working camera shop, and I popped in because I always like to pop in to see what they have. And I picked up a little Kodak box camera, and that's going to be the project there, is sealing that back up and flipping the lens, see what I get out of it.
My Hawkeye I bought a few years ago, and I with the intention of flipping the lens around, and I did. And then, of course, you're into the area of, well, now what? So I think all I did then was just pointed it at things and exposed 12 images and developed it, and they were all, nothing was sharp. I thought, well, this sucks, you know. So I thought, I've got to be more scientific about this. So I got some probably baking sheet or tracing paper or something, and made a makeshift ground glass, you know, across the film plane. And then I started off by just having, I was in the house and it was winter time, and so couldn't see much. So I turned one of the lamps on the ceiling, and it was just a bare bulb, I think. And as I moved the camera backwards and forwards, I could see at some point this fluorescent bulb came into focus. And it was really close. No wonder nothing was in focus. It was like 14 or 15 inches, right, from the subject to the film plane. So I thought, right, okay, well, that explains something. So then I put another film in, and I deliberately went out and found subjects that were 14 or 15 inches away, and they came out bitingly sharp and all kind of ethereal and dreamy on the outside. So that was my sweet spot. And then now I only take it out when I go out on anyone who's been out on a photo walk with me, and that includes the one coming up on Sunday, the 30th of April, 2023, for World Pinhole Photography Day. I take it with me because I shove it in people's faces, and it's very disconcerting because it's like 14 inches away, you know? Yeah. And I said, just look in there.
I'll trap your soul.
And I capture their souls, with a flipped lens Hawkeye. So I'd like to have a camera with a project, you know, and that's the project for that camera. So yeah. I commend the Hawkeye flash and flip the lens. You may well find that your sweet spot is not 14 inches, but, you know, 12 feet or something, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that'd be impressive. It's exciting. The analog thing kind of writ large in the photography world, I've just enjoyed it so much for many reasons, and it's accelerated with the pinhole thing.
So pandemic struck, and were you like many others, find yourself working from home or?
I was working from home and trying to figure out what I could do with whatever time I regained back from not driving back and forth to the city. And then I think what I found was I discovered YouTube, and I realized that YouTube is a devil because that's a never ending hole. it will just take you forever. But
It's a real time stealer, and there's some great things on there, and there's some absolute tripe as well.
Oh yeah, but it's kind of consistent with other social media outlets.
That's true.
But yeah. One thing it did give me was an intro to Pinhole. And if I recall, it was, I'll tell you my thinking at the time. I think the first kind of video set that I landed on was Martin Henson's. With the 045.
I thought you were going to say Will Gudgeon. That was the other one.
That's where I went next. And I was like, man, these Brits really love their Pinhole. And here at the time, I had not discovered folks that like Zeb Andrews out in Blue Moon or Heather and the New Jersey Pinhole Club. I had not yet found those communities. All I knew was those wacky Brits that were fluent.
Justin Quinnell. I'm not sure he has anything on YouTube, but he's a nutcase.
He's got a couple of instructional videos out there.
Is he?
Right. And some speaking engagements, but he doesn't like make dedicated content the same way.
No, he's one day we'll get him back on the show, but I think it probably takes us a few years to recover from the first time.
Yeah, well, that's exciting. He's talk about an enthusiastic
mm-hmm. yep.
conversationalist in this place. But I loved it. Yeah.
So you found YouTube and you found someone using a zero. Was Martin using his 045?
Yeah, that's what I. Yeah, that's where I kind of walked into that. And then, you know, a little bit of plotting around in that space, you kind of settle in, well, am I ready to do large format? Am I not?
Mm.
You know, you end up with the 02000 to get started.
Yeah, I mean, most people don't jump in with unless they've got a background in large format, they don't jump in with a large format pinhole camera, do they?
It's just another avenue. Once you're in that space, you know, why stop there? Sheet after sheet, because I do love that. I think that when you see me post things to Flickr or to Instagram, you're probably going to mostly see medium format because for me, it's just easier to grab and go. You know, coming up on World Pinhole Day and other outings that I have, I usually use that time to work in the large format space.
Yeah, I mean, particularly the 6x6F. But did you buy that online, or did you buy it have you got any photo stores near you that you can support and go to?
There are a couple local ones, but they have not embraced. They have not gone too far down the pinhole route. Mm-hmm. So that's been Blue Moon for me, and they are excellent at getting things across the country and customer service. And then eventually, you know, you kind of find some of the other manufacturers out there too. But I know that Reality, James, and Blue Moon have some things in their shop, so I was able to get in there.
They haven't sold you a typewriter yet, then?
No, I already got one. And that's another thing my wife always gets on me about, because that thing is a monster. It's a big one.
Is it?
Yeah, it's heavy.
Well, just combine the two. You know, combine. Well, when you get the darkroom, here's the thing. You see, then you can make beautiful little square prints.
Yes.
And you can get a box for them to keep them in. And you can type up your thoughts.
Yeah.
All right. Onto paper. So keeping it all analog and just interleave them with your prints.
Yeah.
And it'll be like a little box of pinhole memories. How does that grab you?
I love it.
I thought you would, because your feed, your Instagram feed, is what I love about it is it's just page after page of memories, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the parallel path along this whole journey has been watching my kids be born and start to grow up. I talk about it like it's for them. It's really probably more for me. But like I said, like there's a point in time in my life where there's probably years of missing pictures because they got lost in the digital archives or digital dust.
Yeah.
We have solutions around that now. But with analog, I found that I had several backups. I had digital and I had negatives and I had prints. And that was something that could be gifted to them later in life, and they could see their own history and notebook of life growing up. And so many of my pictures, you know, they say you should photograph what you can where you are, and a lot of times it's, my kids are with me wherever I am, so they end up in a lot of my photos.
And they're at an age, judging by the images that are fairly recent in the last year or two that I'm looking at on Instagram, where, you know, they're probably still willing subjects, aren't they? They're not moody teenagers just yet.
No. I'll introduce you to my second born. He's 5 and very angry. That's one of the other things that has been beneficial about the pinhole world. I found once the second one came along, it was harder for me to hold a camera and take pictures because I was usually had a kid in one arm and was grabbing one with the other. And they thought nothing of touching or grabbing or throwing cameras. So I got tired of protecting lenses. And once I found the utility and the fun of pinhole, it became a no-brainer and opened up a whole new world of possibilities for me.
Well, because when they're playing in the yard, like I'm staring at a picture with they've got some digger trucks and things, and you can set that pinhole camera up. I mean, they almost certainly know what it is, but it's not threatening, is it? And no. You know, they'll get bored because you're not saying stand and smile at daddy while I take your picture. You're just saying, well, okay, I'm just going to plonk this here and we'll record this moment, you know?
Yeah, it's great. And there's utility there in both lens and lensless photography. And I find that people that are working with lenses, and I still love that space, but, they're trying to stop time and trying to remember a specific moment. In my venture down the pinhole world, you're really not stopping time, you're capturing time. Mm-hmm. And from the moment I see the negative developed in a print, it's just, I'm inside the memory at that point, and I'm inside the moment. And it's not a specific point in time because it's something that's kind of lost and going back and forth. And it's a weird place to be because it's for them, but it's also brings back memories of my own life, and it can translate between the two. So it's a different experience. It's a whole other world. It's fantastic realism, if you will. It's created kind of a different way for me to think about memory and think about time and think about kind of the magic, in this case, the magic of childhood. And I think Martin Henson said it in one of his videos too, and I totally agree with it, is that, you know, the farther along you get in life, the more childlike you become. It just brings you kind of back into that.
I think it's called senility.
yeah, it can happen to the best of us.
Yeah. I think, you know, the kids, if you get a, you make prints when you get your darkroom up and running, which you need to, you really need to do. We'll talk about that in a second, but darkrooms, you really need to do. And you make your little box sets of prints with your type notes. Your wife will, I hope she sees the loveliness behind it. Yeah. The kids will probably not be interested, but one day they really will, you know?
Yeah. She's been supportive. I think sometimes with the lens list stuff, people are like, it's a little curious to them. They're like, you really like that picture? I'm like, yeah, that's a great picture. Yeah.
They're like, but it's not sharp.
What am I looking at?
it's all blurry.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say it. So maybe I repeat myself too much, but the lens list thing, it can be transformational in that way, because for me, it really, rewired my brain to think about expectations in a different way, or to release expectations. Right. That was one of the frustrations I had with digital and in some cases lens-based photography. It's just expectations got too high, that things needed to be a certain way. And, if you're a photographer or an artist in any particular capacity, if as soon as you can start to release what expectations you think you might have, and pinhole can support that and be a place for you to do that, it opens up a whole new world of possibilities, and I think it can transcend into other parts of your life as well. So it's been good for me in that sense, and it's taught me a new way of looking at, not just looking at pictures, but looking at the world and other people. So.
Yeah. I would commend folks to go to Joe's Instagram and to the much neglected Flickr. I went on to the Lensless Podcast Flickr group, which I just haven't looked at it in a long time. And it's Joe. He's been putting stuff in there. I don't know whether you just shoved stuff in there because you knew you were talking to me or not. I mean, you've got your own page there, but I was just looking generally at the photo stream and which I've now lost. Yeah. What have you been posting to Flickr for a while?
I bet you, if you looked hard enough, you could probably find two pages of mine in there, one from years ago and one current. If you find my current one, it's almost entirely Pinhole, maybe a little bit of Holga. It's not wildly full at the moment, but you know, I found with some of the evolution of Instagram, I'm not really on Twitter, I'm not really on Facebook. I've been able to avoid those so far. People in the photographic communities are kind of leaving Instagram in some ways, right? If they were using them at all. So it's kind of a return to Flickr, but people are migrating in different directions. So not everyone has gone back to Flickr. But I think it's a great platform to share.
It really is. And I'm reminded every time I go on there, how good it is. We have Dallas Sells is a top contributor.
He's very busy. Very busy.
I've just seen. I'm opening it up now. I'm sure you're right near the top. Is that you? I'm sure that's you. Yeah, Christmas at the beach. There you go.
Yep.
So it's memories, isn't it? That's what it is.
Yeah. It is,
and Flickr is such a neat way of looking at images. It's far better than Instagram.
Instagram is a connector in ways. It has opened me up to some new things, but the viewing pleasure is not there. Sometimes the quality is not there. When you look at a lot of pictures, like I have been and I do, after a while, you're just like, oh, I mean, there's a better way to view some of these. But
sure. Yeah, I was struck by yours. I mean, your 6x17 images of your kids down, you know, like on the coast, on the beach, they shine remarkably well on Flickr, you know.
Yeah, that camera is amazing. I should use it more. It is a very challenging camera to use. The format's a very challenging format to work with.
It is. Yeah, I struggle with it. John Farnham sent me one to play with, and I put a roll of film through it, and I've got some what look like decent results, but I've lost my somewhere in my messy office is a Lomography digitalizer. You know that scan adapter that takes. I can get 3 6x6 frames, and I've lost it, and I don't know where it is, and so I can't do much with 6x17 at the moment till I find it. But it's I think you've made great use of it. You know, with your style of memory capturing. You know.
Yeah. You know, I've really grown to love that camera, and I'll be the first to say I'm guilty of not using it enough.
Yeah,
you know, because you kind of do really have to look for certain. Well, I've found so far I've had to look for kind of certain ways to use it.
I think so, yeah.
But I do think that's my challenge. The challenge at my feet is to figure out new ways to use it that still allow it to show off and really sing. Because I think that, you know, and it's true with a lot of Pinhole things, is that the possibilities are endless. And that's why the Lensless podcast photo group on Flickr and the other Pinhole photo groups on Flickr, you know, when I started getting more and more into the work of this, I'm really taken by how diverse the community is and how democratic it is. You know, you don't need to buy a camera, you can make your own. And people are producing such amazing and diverse and wild things. It's I just love spending time on the groups. I'm like, man, people are really working on some really cool stuff. I get jealous, and not really jealous, but like, man, I was like, man, I wish I took that photo, or I wish I could be working on
well,
that.
There's
not enough time, right?
There's not enough time. And I think you need to, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, you know, because, you know, I'm looking at your two, these two 6x17 images on your Flickr stream, and it's probably your wife and two kids on rocks, and then there's another one of one of your lads. I guess he's one of your children, unless you've got just photographing strange children on the beach. And I have to say, you've nailed this really wide shot, and tribute to James's camera. There's no real vignetting at the edges because of the design of the camera, and your lad is standing fairly still.
Yeah.
And it shows. I don't know where we are. Whether you'd headed back up to Maine for these shots, but it's beautiful landscape.
That is Maine, yes.
Yeah. And it's again, you're using the 6x17 in the way you use the 6x6. It's a great effect, I have to say. And it's nice to see color as well. What color film are you? You wasting money on?
Well, it's they're so it's between Ektar and Portra 160.
Ektar's my favorite. I think it's my favorite pinhole.
I do. I think Ektar 100 and pinhole are born to be together in so many ways. I can understand that some people might find Ektar a little punchy in some ways.
You can dial down the punchiness if you want to, can't you?
Yeah, but I love it. But I also love the Portra 160. When I want something a little bit more of a pastel flavor, mm-hmm. it really is just as lovely. And there's no real right or wrong way to do this stuff.
No, right? No, there really isn't. And the point you made about how democratic, if that's the right word, or varied this little niche community is, we have all sorts of folks on here, and some people like Nick Boracek, of course he pretty much always just uses his populist cardboard camera, and mm-hmm. he's been sending a few of those out to lucky folks recently, and where you can download his plans and make your own, and he makes some cracking images, or you can go to Mia Pinhole, who we had on last week, or James, and they make, if you're not into making pinhole cameras and you just want to spend your time making pinhole pictures, that's perfectly valid too. And there's no judgment between whichever style you like. People just accept it.
I found that to be so true and so refreshing when I got more aware of the greater pinhole community. Because if you took I've heard it described this way. I think I was at Soho Photo Gallery last month, and the pinhole world, and if you include the plastic lens world with that, it's such a small sliver of the overall photography world.
Yeah, it is.
But it's a much more open community in many ways. And I called it democratic because there's very little barrier to entry in it. And I find that people can express creativity in an unbounded way, and they're not held and accountable because something's not sharp. I found, in my own personal observations, that in the pinhole world, it's a lot more global in some ways, right? You have people working on these things from different countries, different cultures, different languages that I only wish I could better understand. I think there are, I'm speaking from my perspective here, but I think that there are a lot of inspirational women that are working in this place too, and they're putting themselves out there in a creative way. And I don't think you always get that in some of the more, I'll use the word, traditional photography spaces.
No, we do. We do have a much higher female proportion in the Facebook group, but it's still, I think it's still probably 70% male but 30% female. In the other group, I'm admin of, large format photography podcast group, I think the women side of that is 5%, and make of that what you will,
Yeah.
I have to be careful of where I phrase it these days, because you can be accused of all sorts of nonsense about political correctness. But is it because pinhole is just so more accessible, and is it because not all but a lot of women just aren't that focused on gear acquisition? We touched upon it with like bicycles. Normally the man who goes out and gets all the shiny stuff, isn't it? Yeah. And the woman has to put up with the secondhand discards.
Everyone's story is a little different or perspective, I think that there is a modicum of truth in there. It's probably pretty typical of men to just go gear hunting and focus on that. But I think in the pinhole space, for people that I think have embraced it and have really gone into it, and it's not just a novelty to them, I'm kind of under the impression that they have also gone down this path of releasing expectations, right? And they're a little bit more open to experimentation or surprising results. I don't want to put myself too far out there because it's maybe not true for everybody, but I can imagine that it's hard for some people to put themselves out there in stricter communities that are a little bit more punishing of people that don't have a certain thing or aren't doing a certain thing. When in this pinhole world that has kind of relieved us of that burden, you get to see the creativity coming from men, women, different cultures and different places, people that aren't really constrained by the way things, quote, should be, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Make a good point. Let's leave it there for I
sure.
get myself in too much trouble.
I know.
With stereotypes. But I think the pinhole art form is just so accessible to anybody, and I think that it's got such a low barrier to entry that it makes it much more democratic in its in its outlook. And it doesn't need to be expensive. You can buy photo paper, of course, yeah, and shove it in a coffee can, and as many of our listeners and contributors do, get some quite superb results.
I do.
Anyway, we've got World Pinhole Photography Day coming up. So this, as a recording of this show, which is you and I are chatting, Joe, on the 23rd of April. It's in a week's time. I'm going to find myself in the real Cambridge with hopefully a few folks doing some creative architecture pinhole shots. That's the theme of the day. So if this show probably is going to air on Saturday the 29th or maybe Friday the 28th, don't forget on Sunday to go out and make some pinhole pictures. You got plans, Joe?
Yeah, you know, I guess my plan is I'm going out. I have not set a location or a specific time of day yet. It's my one excuse to leave the house and go and explore new places and try new things. And like I said earlier in the conversation, this is usually my chance to focus a little bit more on the large format or I'll bring a couple that I've made myself. Because I'll have the luxury of being able to carry what I want.
What have you made yourself?
So mostly the tin can space, right? In I have Heather up in the New Jersey Pinhole Club to thank for that. She's a pusher, I tell you. I mean that in a good way. She's really been an enabler. You know, I was so thirsty for more pinhole stuff. I took one of her workshops a little over a year ago, and she brought in all of these tins for one people to look at. And then she allowed some folks to take some home with them. And I still have those. And I should really put them through their paces more than I do. But, you know, some of these big cookie tins, you can fit a whole 8x10 sheet in quite comfortably and get a pretty amazing negative out of it.
Yeah. So what are you taking some tin cans out with you on Sunday?
Yeah, I probably won't take a whole bag of them, but I'll take a few. And then I think when I shoot 4x5 sheet film, I'm typically shooting Ilford Ortho.
Are you? That's an unusual. Well, I say it's an unusual choice. I mean, I know folks do. What is it about Ortho?
You know, there's a little bit of magic to it, I think, and it's really just personal taste. You pop in, if you include a filter on it too, like you really get some really beautiful, contrasty tones to it. And then there's the luxury of being able to develop it in kind of a safe light space, which is also a little bit of magic to that. If I know I'm kind of going into like a low light space, I'll use HP5. I do like my Ilford films.
Yeah.
And I pretty much stick to Ilford developers when I'm in there.
There's some recent news that's hitting the social channels, isn't there, about the chemical manufacturer for Kodak pulling out. Over here we've just had a very long-standing analog store called Silverprint, who started out in London. They've just shut up shop. We don't know the full reasons, but it's been partly linked to color film in availability. But that seems an odd, to me, that seems an odd reason, because Silverprint were much more than just supplying color film, you know. So yeah. I don't know what's gone on there. But that the news that the company that makes chemicals for Kodak is ceasing or has gone into administration or whatever the reason is kind of worrying.
It is. You know, I really don't have the full story to it either. I mean, I guess who really does, but I have found so far, I think Ilford has been very consistent, and it almost seems like they're reinvesting in some of their stuff. I can't speak to their whole supply chain. But
well, they did have supply chain. They did have US supply chain issues a few years back, but I think they've probably solved that now. I think the FPP store normally has stuff in there, doesn't it? And I think they've introduced their own line of HC110 equivalent as well, I think.
I think so. Yeah, I haven't tried it yet, but I do think that that's out there.
Because HC110 is something that, you know, a lot of folks just rely on, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
But Ilford make a similar one. What do they call theirs? Ilford HC? I think it's called HC. Yeah. Ilford Tech HC, something like that. But it's very similar to the Kodak, the way the Kodak one works. Similar dilutions, you know, 1:31 and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it's so many decisions to make as a photographer, right? You know. To put your own
stamp. Well, you know, you stick to your two color films and stick to your ortho, and then you'll find that you develop a bit of a look, you know, and eventually the materials become, you don't have to think too much, do you? You know, you become so familiar with it, you'll know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly like the idea of experimentation, trying new developers in different ways and different under different circumstances. For me, because I've kind of gone again backwards in time with this, I found mm-hmm. that I needed to understand what I was doing first before I started experimenting too much. So if something went wrong in the process and I liked it, I wanted to be able to remember what I did differently or did wrong, so I could recreate it if I needed to.
Are you much of a note taker then when you're out with your cameras?
Yes and no. I have found I do, it's funny. I do have a notebook in my bag. I have found that I've started using my phone more like a notebook than an actual piece of paper, which is good and bad.
Mind you, if you use the Pinhole Assist app, not everyone does, but if you do, then of course that you can save a log of the roughly a photograph of, you know, the scene that you've got ahead of you, and it records the settings and stuff as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I think when you scroll through my Instagram profile too, a lot of my more recent images are actually Fuji Acros, which is a lovely, lovely film.
And you don't have to, even the new version of it, you don't have to worry about reciprocity adjustments, do you?
I haven't really noticed very much difference at all between the old and the new. It is one of my favorites.
I'm very interested in, you just mentioned Instagram, so I've just dived back onto Instagram. I'm very interested in what people hashtag. Because some people hashtag a lot, and I don't do much of it, but yours are an indication of what you're feeling about the image. I mean, I'm looking at a color image from January, I think, of your two boys under a walkway under a bridge, and it's color image. And it's rather lovely. Yesterday's unseasonably warm weather has left, and we've returned to our cooler temperatures, thinking about walking through the garden and playing down by the creek again. These images were taken last summer, handheld. Oh, there we go, with Chroma Cube and Kodak Gold 200. But then you come to your hashtags, and, you know, I think this is more saying more about what you think about the image than wanting people to find you. I mean, some of them are, you know, if people search for lo-fi, then you've done that. But you've got things in there like moments that matter, you know, childhood memories, you know, and
yeah,
it's a bit about radiant aberration. Now, okay, is that referring to?
That's actually a if you go to @radiantaberration, it's actually an account.
Is it right?
Okay. And I do suggest checking it out. They post some historic work. They post other things, and you know, for folks that are in this community, they might like some of the
things
that right, they're just made a note of that.
Yeah, I'm certainly not a wizard when it comes to social media, and I really shouldn't tell anyone how to use it effectively because I'm not sure that I have. In some cases, my hashtags are ways to remember what I was doing at that time
and
how I was shooting.
Yep.
And with a couple of thrown in there just to make sure that the people that are interested in this kind of stuff are able to find it. But
yeah, because it's another way for folks looking to see sometimes, you know, like I'll always put like hashtag reality so subtle or something, you know, so if you haven't mentioned it elsewhere, if they've got any sense about them, they'll realize you've taken it with a reality so subtle camera, if that, you know, if it matters really.
Yeah.
And you've been playing with a lamography. What do they call that thing? The one with four images on.
The action sampler.
Action sampler, yeah.
Yeah, so I just got that. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but here...
I've never used one, but I've seen... I went on a photo a pinhole walk a couple of Christmases ago, and I think Neil Piper had one with him. I'm sure he did.
Yeah, you know, I've put two, maybe three rolls through it, and I think of the 70 or so images, 100 images, I think I actually took maybe 25 of them, and my kids took over the camera.
Did they?
Yeah, they love it. I mean, it's this clear, it's a clear plastic, it's a toy camera, and, you know, they just run with it. And if I post I think I've only posted one in here, but... I have an archive of about 50 images with little kid fingers in the frame.
Awesome.
That's great. Yeah, no, this camera was given to me, or I was lucky enough to receive it. I'm not sure. Are you familiar with the crappy camera competition?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's quite a few of these things going on, and the frugal film, the crappy camera, and there's a lot run over here by Jason Avery, you know, Film November and different camera challenges. And in truth, I think it's excellent, but it's really not my. I think I'm just too lazy and unfocused to take part in it, you know?
Yeah. Well, the crappy camera show, it's a show that's held in Soho Photo Gallery in New York.
Mm-hmm.
This year is the first year that I got juried into the show.
Okay. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Again, I got to meet some of my, finally got to meet some of the heroes in this community that were able to participate in it. So it's finally nice to see these artists that you've admired from afar in some ways.
Yeah.
But I was doubly lucky in that, the image that I juried into the show for the first time this year also received an honorable mention. And as a result of that honorable mention, they gifted me this action sampler.
Right. So which was the picture that was juried in and got an honorable mention? Is it one on your Instagram?
It is on Instagram. I believe it's on Flickr. I'm going to try and...
It's not the one that was featured. There was one featured in Analog Forever magazine, wasn't there? Or in their little competition.
There was, but that was not the one. It's not too far down. Where did you go? Yeah, see, I'm doing it on the spot.
That's fine.
There it is. So the actual post date of this image was August 12th, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
It's a balcony view of a beach. It's right next to a color photo with a ton of flair and other beach photos.
Oh yeah, I got it. Yeah.
So
you've got the color one, which is with all the solar flare in it, and then you've got your rather beautifully composed balcony beach with folks lying. I guess it's folks lying on, and then you've got
beach cabanas down there and clouds.
A view of the weekend. Again, you see, We've had several people on the show who use their pinhole cameras like iPhones, really, to capture memories.
I'm really intrigued by the idea that, I know that pinhole cameras really have their strengths and weaknesses, and there are ways to really show off what they can do, but I'm really intrigued by the idea of trying to get them to do anything that you would want a regular camera to do. Again, you might have to employ some techniques or perspectives to achieve that, but I really do like the idea that a pinhole camera can be just as, if not more, rewarding than in any situation that a lens-based camera can do.
Yeah. Well, Joe, where you've mentioned you're not a social media whiz kid, and you do need to join Facebook, though. I'm coming on to where folks can find you. You do need to join Facebook and sell your soul to the Facebook devil, purely so you can join the Lensless Podcast Facebook group.
You make a compelling argument. I might have to.
You don't have to succumb to the rest of Facebook, but the group is lovely, and we look forward to having you here. And if you're half as eloquent in the group as you have been expressing your thoughts and ideas in this show, then you'll be most welcome, and a lovely addition to the chitter chatter that goes on there.
I do love it, and I think I had said it at some point earlier in the show, like, one of the things I found about the whole thing is the community is a small one, but it's way bigger and way more global than you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And I was so thirsty for meeting or talking to other pinholers when I kind of first started getting into this. So I welcome the opportunity to join the conversation and share ideas and experiences and
absolutely
meet new people. So
So people can find you on Instagram at I know you've got a couple of ones, but one for your pinhole is Ditch Photo, DITCHPHOTO _ pinhole. That's right, isn't it?
That's correct. Yeah, I have really
Joe Ditchett Photography.
Two main accounts, or two accounts really, the Ditch Photo at pinhole. And then my lens-based stuff isn't just Ditch Photo. And that's where I kind of started a lot of it. But once I started migrating to the pinhole stuff, I kind of separated it out.
I did that. I got one for all pin. Although mine isn't, I started off just using mine as a sort of showcase of images. Yeah. But now stuff gets put on there like, what I'm up to or what I'm doing and advertising the lensless show. So. But it's all pinhole related. Have you got Holger stuff on your other site here?
No, I do include my plastic lens stuff on my pinhole page.
Yeah, right.
The people that are interested in pinhole tend to be also welcoming of the plastic cameras as well.
Yeah, and we in fact probably the next up guest that isn't a camera manufacturer, we've got Mr. Holger back on. He's wanted to talk a bit about this year's Holger week, and he mentioned wanting to do some brainstorming, which kind of freaks me out a bit, really. But anyway, we'll get Mr. Holger back on fairly shortly, and then we've got some more Holger winners or runners up to do as well.
Yeah.
Before we have the next one.
Yeah, that is an exciting time. I think, and I know we're getting close to time here. I think looking at the year ahead, I will, find better ways to talk to everybody that's in this world. And I think one of the tasks at my feet is to also create like some type of website. So, people can at least navigate some of the things that I'm interested in a easy to view way.
Just very quickly tell us about the darkroom then. What are your plans for the darkroom?
I only hesitate because I don't want to commit to anything at this point. But
commit in public. There's only going to be 600 or 700 downloads. You'll be fine.
Twist my arm. We're kind of my family, my wife and I. We're kind of at the point where we are looking to change houses, and that's very much part of the discussion, right? So,
gotta have a dark room.
You gotta have a dark room. And so as we search, that's going to be there. So I, I wish I could say that I'd be up and running in that space in a month, but it'd probably be more so the second half of the year.
Sure. Yeah. What, then, does she get a room of her own?
What she will probably, yeah, well, an outdoor space, really. She's very much into gardening, and I'm sure we'll come up with some type of greenhouse capacity for her once we have the space. But so that's the next adventure, I think. Like I said, I think that there's endless possibilities with this, but one area that I really want to sharpen is the printing side of it.
Yeah, and in terms of creating memories, I think that's
yeah, and I really love what you shared too. I think it's great, and it would really kind of complete everything and have your your archive.
Yeah, and you can also find Joe in the Lensless Podcast Flickr group under just Joe Ditchett. So check him out and check out the in particular his work on Flickr, because it's just a lovely way to view the images. Joe, thank you so very much. It's been a delight.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here, and thanks for the conversation. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was, and you were. So we'll say goodbye to listeners. We always like guests to say goodbye, and we'll say bye. Say goodbye, Joe.
Goodbye, Joe.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, thank you.